Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to shop.
Christmas season,
And please don't go out there and spend all your money on stuff. You know, hey, the greatest gift that we have is a gift that came to us over 2,000 years ago, and that was the gift of Jesus Christ. But he is no longer a babe in the manger. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting up on high. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us, the believer, the true worshiper of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to worship him in spirit and truth. Don't be a Sunday morning Christian. That's not a Christian at all. Don't even be just a weekend Christian. Make sure you get your worship on every day. Make sure you let God know that you know him, even though he knows everything about us anyway. But let him know that you know him by worshiping him in spirit and truth, and by encouraging and building up other believers, other brothers and sisters. Let them know how much he loves them too. We cannot say we love God who we have not seen, and then don't tell the people that we see every day how much God loves them as well. Hey, amen. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number, 646-668-8468. And you are live on 30 Minutes in God's Word, a.k.a. the Prodigal Church Hour. And let's get right into prayer, and we're going to get into part three of You Are the Light of the World, coming out of Matthew 5, 14, and 15. And I want us to just be encouraged and know that we are what God says we are. And I want us to live like we are what God says we are. And it comes by way of obedience and by way of leaning on him and not leaning on ourselves. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God, that we would trust in you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. We ask, Father God, right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that the word of God will come forth with power and authority, Lord, that it may touch, convict, and humble, and bring us to our knees, Lord God, that we would have no choice but to surrender our will for your will. We ask, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would walk as children of the light. If we're not, Lord God, before the end of this message, Lord, may we make some changes. We need to repent of things that we've done or things that we haven't done, Lord. May we repent and move forward in your word and move forward by your authority. We ask, Father God, that I decrease, that you increase, that the Holy Spirit will speak to the hearers of this truth today as we go forth in the word of God. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face shine upon them and give them his peace in Jesus' mighty name. You know, friends, we live in a dark time. We live in a dark time, but Jesus has told us in his word that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. I'm thinking about things that I've been through. I can talk about some examples of what other people have been through. I'm going to put myself up here, though, being that I'm a heart patient and have had over 17 heart attacks, as well as five stents and two open heart surgeries in the last 5 years. And in the midst of that, I can think of some dark times. I can think of times where people have done me wrong, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who did me wrong, who treated me anything but other than with respect, anything other than as a child of the light. And they didn't even... And they called themselves my friends. They called themselves, they said they loved me, but the love that they showed was anything but scriptural or anything but what the Bible calls agape love, because Jesus Christ showed us selfless love. He showed us love of not just bringing down the hammer, but his mission was to love us where we needed to be brought into favor with the Father, and he did that by dying on the cross for us. He was selfless with his love. And in these times, friends, we have to realize that how much we need to, even when people do us wrong, we don't return evil for evil, but we show the love of Jesus Christ so that we may be light in a dark world and light in a dark place. And again, in Matthew 5, 14 and 15, he tells us that Jesus speaks that you are. So he's saying that very strongly, that you are. It's something that's already, he was talking to these disciples of his when he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. May it edify and build us up in our most holy faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We looked at this yesterday, and I remember I talked about how light and darkness, examples of it. We went through part of Revelation chapter 2, where I showed you how this woman, this prophetess, was set up in a place of authority that God had not called her to, and she was not only leading the men astray, but she was committing whoredom and idolatry. That's darkness. That's someone who is professing to be a believer, professing to work for God, but yet they're walking in idolatry and adultery or immorality, which is is contrary to the will of God, because he tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So we need to believe what the scriptures say, and we must believe God's word in the form of obedience. It's not enough to just say, I love the Lord. Loving the Lord must be an act of obedience as a way of life. And yes, we will drop the ball. Yes, we will get in our flesh. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we will fall down. We will slip, trip, bust our lip. But the believer's lifestyle should be a lifestyle of obedience, not a lifestyle of disobedience. So we see here, what does it mean to be, when he says, we are the light of the world, this thesis, you are the light of the world, what does it mean? For instance, we have a responsibility for the world. What does light do? Light is used to signal. Light is used to guide. In Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light is used to penetrate the darkness and expose evil and error. And I read that to you out of Revelation again. We talked about how this woman, if you go there, read Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 on, and read about this prophetess Jezebel, who was professing to be someone, she was teaching error. One, she was not called to be a pastor or a teacher, but she had took the role because obviously these men around there were just as weak as she was, and she took authority over them, and they feared her more than God. She was standing in a position that God did not put her in, and that's biblical position, because God does not put a woman over a man in his church, nor does he put a woman over the man in his own house. So we see there's a role. When people are out of order, when the roles are not being followed as God specifically lays out, then there's disobedience and there's error in the house of God and there's error in the family. It starts with the family and it works its way right through the church. If you got a bunch of women that's usurping authority over their husbands or over men, period, guess what happens? They move, they run, they basically step on God's toes. And they're saying, no, God, you're wrong. No, God, I'm reading the scripture that says there's no difference between male or female, Jew or Gentile. That's in salvation. Yes, we all are filthy rags. We all equal on the same playing field. We all need saving. We all need salvation. It has nothing to do with the biblical role that God has set up, the order of structure of things. Christ is the head of the church. Man is the head of his wife, and parents are head of their children. When we don't follow the prescribed method and we allow those orders to be mixed around, guess what? It's out of order. It's broken, and God needs to come in and fix it with chastening or sometimes just a flat-out taking us to the woodshed and whooping us down. He says, the light is used to penetrate the darkness and expose evil and error. John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light is coming to the world, but men loved darkness. He didn't say love. He said loved. Loved darkness instead of light because of what? Their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. Friends, we live in an anti-Christian world. We live in an anti-Christian world, and because of rebellion, because of lawlessness, the world, the love of most has waxed cold. And we live in a dark world because man does not fear God any longer. If you remember in Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he tells us, he said, this is the whole duty of man, fear God and keep his commandments. But unfortunately, we don't read the Bible anymore. We don't think this Bible, this book, is God's written word. It's a book of ordinances and instructions for living out our Christian faith. We think that we can do whatever and live however we want to, and we go on with our life as we choose to. And God says, well, since you don't need me, I won't use you either. And when God doesn't use you, then you're upset why you're not being blessed. And Satan is the one giving you the direction. You're following his mandate and not God's prescribed method of the Holy Scriptures. He says, "Where evil he says, for this is a condemnation. For light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." In verse 3:20, he says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light." See, we are the light, and when we are living a lifestyle that pleases God, then we can shine light on others that they may be drawn to the light of Jesus Christ. How can they know that we know him when they see nothing but darkness in us, when they see us hating one another, when they see us at odds against one another? And there's a time to disagree, but we should never be divided over essentials in the body of Christ. This is why I have a problem with denominationalism nowadays. It's become Satanism in the church, because all it takes is humanity to inject his own will into the scriptures, and then the scriptures no longer become the standard, but humanity is, and human wisdom. And this is a problem in the churches nowadays, because you can't fellowship with one group or another because of denominationalism. Well, I'm a Pentecostal, and I'm an Apostolic, and I'm a Baptist, I'm a Southern Baptist, I'm this type, I'm Presbyterian, I'm this, I'm that, I'm everything. I just want to be Christ follower, because none of that is in the Bible. None of these denominations are in the Word of God. Only thing God says is, are you following me? He says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men. Come, 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 all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't come Baptist. Don't come theologian. Don't come Presbyterian. Don't come. Just come sinner. Saved by grace. Saved by the blood of Jesus. Washed in the blood. Redeemed. Come, broken, contrite. I'll give you rest. He says, for the fear that his deeds will be exposed, John 3:21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that he has done, that what he has been done through God. None of us have anything to boast about, because all of us are filthy rags, and we are broken and naked, and we are without the blood of Jesus Christ washing us. Our hearts will expose themselves. We need the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ constantly. We need to constantly be working out our salvation by the power of the Holy Spirit, by us surrendering and submitting our will to his will. We find ourselves more and more like Christ and less like ourselves. We need all of him on a daily basis. That's why I have a problem with this whole I do a lot of witnessing on the internet. I use the internet and social medias, all kinds of places, even dating sites. I go in there and expose the unfruitful works of darkness with the truth and try to get women to stop walking around half-naked, stop trying to pimp themselves out. See, we don't need the devil to pimp us out. Nowadays, we pimping our own selves out. The women are half-naked, and they're showing all of their breasts and butt and everything else on the internet, and guess what? Why would a man want to get with you and want to know you? You basically told him what you want him to know about you. Come know my body and everything else. Maybe he'll stick around, because that's the lie that the devil has perpetrated, that if you sex him down real good, he ain't going nowhere. He'll love you forever. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because I don't care how much he's sleeping with you. If he lust-driven and that's what he wants is sex, that's all you got, sex. And eventually he'd get bored with you and he's going to move on to the next one. Been there, done that. Don't even try to play. It says, light is used to prevent sin, security lights in dark areas. See, when we are spirit-filled friends, guess what? We can't just go and do something and our mind don't convict and our heart don't convict us. Oh, yeah, we can get stupid sometimes as believers. when we refuse to walk in the light. We can get stupid, but we need to be what God says. We need to be like security lights around this world. We need to expose darkness with the light. When in dark places, hey, if somebody had a street ministry where the only thing their ministry was to go into the crack, into the ghettos and projects and minister to the drug users, drug sellers, and prostitutes, that would be dark territory. That could cause you to slip, trip, and fall. But you better go in there with a bunch of people that's anointed and spirit-filled and have your mind girded up. You better go in there as light. You better go in there ready to do spiritual battle, because this is not a flesh and blood ministry. This is a spiritual ministry. When you're dealing with the forces of darkness, you must be walking in the light. You must be walking in the Spirit of God, and so you can be effective. Otherwise, them demons will get you. If you play in church, oh, I promise you, you will get used and you get played. You'll be just like them. You'll be out there. That's why we need to be making sure that, you know, when you're hanging out with certain people, that's why it's good to be discerning about who you're hanging with when they call themselves a brother or sister. Everybody is not your brother. Everybody is not your sister. A lot of folks, and you just listen to the talk they have. When people are carnal about certain things and they want, oh, well, you know, that's funny and this is, no, it's not funny. Everything is not funny. The Bible says that we're not supposed to be about having coarse jesting. Things that God is offended by, we should be offended by. Everything is not funny. Everything's not funny when it comes to sin and darkness. Light is used to produce growth. We are like trees that are planted. We are like trees that are planted. When God plants us, guess what? He shines light on us so we grow. Because we are. We are seeds that he planted. When you were born again, I was born again, he planted seeds, and he expected us to bear fruit. Let's read John chapter 15 real quick. Hallelujah. See, I love the word of God, because the word of God never comes back void. No matter how much we fail, God never fails in his word. I don't care if it's one person or 1 billion people that are walking with God. The word didn't come back void for those that didn't hear it. It's going to have an effect. It's going to be used to convict you and bring you to repentance, or it's going to be used to convict you and judge you by your sinfulness. But it's not. It's doing just what it's supposed to. Guess what? And there's going to be people in heaven, and there's going to be people in hell. Nobody's going to heaven that's not supposed to be there. Nobody's going to creep into hell or slip into hell because of an accident or default. God's never going to have to apologize for anybody going to hell. You go to hell because you reject the love of the truth, not because no prayer. Oh, I said the prayer, I'm in. No, show me that in chapter and verse, that he who says a prayer gets in. He who just says that with his mouth, that he's automatically in the kingdom. Because there ain't a lot of folks out here saying prayers. A lot of folks don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Not many people are turning their back on Christ. They said they were preaching the gospel for 20 years. All of a sudden, they walk away. That person was never really truly saved. If you can walk away from the truth of Jesus Christ's word, and then walk back into the world and say, I'm denouncing my Christianity. You really never were. I posted something on Facebook today about this singer. Let me see her name real quick. I'll give it to you. But the devil done played her, just like he done played many, many others. Many, many others out there. It's a lot of folks out here that sold their soul to the devil. Why? Because the devil always makes it very appealing. He always makes it appealing when he gets you. Ariana Grande, she's another one that sold her soul. Went from supposedly was walking in the light. And if you read, go on my Facebook page at Daryl Kendrick, you'll see I posted a little video up there. You can check it out, where she even admits that she was talking to demons, and these demons were basically calling her to basically come and serve them. You might not like the word Illuminati. I'll just say it's the devil, Satanism. The forces of darkness, just like the Bible tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you got to choose who you're going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. We see here, he says, light does not exist for its own glory, but to brighten up the world. But to brighten up the world. Why is the world full of darkness right now? But yes, there's a remnant. There's a remnant of born-again believers who are trying, or they're out here doing what God has called them to do, be a social media, even when they walk out and go out and about. Whenever we go out, we take the gospel. We take the light of Jesus Christ, and we should always be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us with meekness and with respect. Let me go to John 15. John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. See, I'm convinced, friends, that a lot of folks ain't never been connected to Jesus. Oh, they had a mystical Jesus. They had a Jesus that was basically some kind of figure like that pictures you see, because that's not Jesus. Stop fooling yourself. That's not Jesus. These pictures that you put up on your wall, if that's the Jesus you're following, that's why you got him. That's not the Jesus of Scripture, though. Because, see, if you're following that cat, that's the one that's your idol. That's your God. And that's who you're looking for. But, see, my Bible tells me we don't know what he looks like. We don't know what. It's nowhere in the Scriptures that tells me I can paint a picture of Jesus. So why am I following that guy on my wall instead of following the Scripture, the Holy Scriptures? I need to be plugged into and connected to the true vine. I don't need to be connected to a picture. I must be connected to the true vine, because he says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. This is why people are not connected to Jesus, because they have not been plugged into the power source where life is given and life more abundantly. We want the Jesus that gives us stuff. We want the Jesus that the Creflo Dollars and the TD Jakes and all of them talk about, and this Jesus don't exist. He's a puppet god. Oh, yes, he has another name, Satan. He has another name, Satan, and that Jesus is not the Jesus of Scripture. That Jesus can't save you. He only will lead you to condemnation and hell. If you follow these big mega preachers, most of them are teaching you a gospel of prosperity and getting more stuff. Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollars, there's many others you can name, Preachers of L.A. If all they're talking about is money, 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 that's because that's their God. That's their idol. That's who they're selling you. And you must give to get. If you don't give, then God won't save you. Oh, they won't directly say it, but they do say it. You just got to have ears to hear. The more you give, the more spiritual you are. That's what they tell you. The more you give, the more God going to give you back. But why is it that if you've been in there 20 years or 5 years and your income ain't rose one bit, but you done gave more and you've gotten less? That's because you can't buy God. He's not for sale. But if you don't know your Bible, if you don't know the Jesus of Scripture, if you have never truly been born again and connected to the true vine, then you cannot have what God has for you. And that's life and life more abundantly. I am so glad that I am spirit-filled instead of sanctuary-filled. Hey, that's what it is. A lot of these folks just sanctuary feel. Oh, they get a spirit. They get a joke every Sunday because of the choir. They get a joke because it's a motivational message. But they have not been jolted by the Messiah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for your word. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And you know what? This is not a blank check to get more stuff. Because see, when we're abiding in him, guess what? We understand that we're connected to a different ministry now. We have a different place. God has a different role for us, and the role is of the cross. It's more about souls. It ain't about how I can get more stuff. Ain't how I can get more things down here. That's not the goal of the ministry. let me get a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger dog, and a white pitfess named Fluffy. Oh, no, that's not the Christianity that is in the Bible. My Bible says, Jesus said himself, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. What's up with that? See, Jesus didn't come down here to give us a bunch of stuff. He didn't come down here to show us how to get rich on earth. He told us how to get rich in heaven, rich in faith. And if I got the light of Jesus Christ in me, guess what? I got a lot. I got a lot. I got something that most people still trying to find because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. And guess what they're looking for that? They're looking for love in the clubs. They're looking for love. Hooked up. Let me hook up with this person or that person. Let me go to this church or that church. If I go to this church, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to this church, I'll be blessed. No, friends, it don't work like that. You can't buy God. You can't buy God. God is not for sale. Our God is awesome. Our God is loyal. Our God is faithful. Our God is the light of this world. Let's look at some of these scriptures before we close up. Just take us back to walking in the Spirit, because see, when you have the light of Christ on you, then you must be walking in the Spirit. You can't be walking in darkness. Let's look at what the scriptures say. Let's look at what the scriptures say. He tells us in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, look carefully in how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of your time, because the days of evil, friend. See, I've been talking about this for a minute now. We need to be walking. We need to be realizing that all prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Christ comes gets his church has already been fulfilled. And if you are not walking, if you are not walking in the light, then what are you walking in? You're walking in the darkness. And if you're walking in the darkness, you need to repent and get back in the light, because God wants us to be ambassadors. He wants us to be agents of to be used for his glory and to for other people to come to the light. We are the tools that God is using right now by the word. When we're living the word, then people are drawn to us by the word. They see Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What is that? Not just walking by faith, knowing the word, speaking the word, but walking in faithfulness to the word. I cannot be speaking the word and have power and have the light of me in me if I'm unfaithful to the word. Does that mean I'm going to be sinless? No. Does that mean that I'm not going to have my flaws and my shortcomings? No. But it does mean that there should be a consistency of obedience. I should have more of the light being seen out of 365 days a year than people can say I'm walking in darkness. And it doesn't mean we don't go through our up and down valley moments or up and down when we get in our flesh. That's why the Bible commands us and teaches us in Galatians 5 that we should continue, we should walk in the Spirit every day. And it's up to us to make sure that we're walking and making it an effort to do that. Galatians 5:16-25, he says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Well, in other words, there's a warfare going on. Inside of you and me, there's a fleshly war and there's a spiritual war. And the flesh wants to have dominion over the Spirit, and the Spirit is basically trying to keep, or the Spirit desires to keep us in check so we can be used for God's glory. And he says, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There's a boxing match going on inside of us in the spirit realm. But he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are what? Evidence, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry and sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries and dissensions and divisions. When you and I take it upon ourselves to live like this against the will of God and against the word of God, guess what, friends? We are being knocked down and pushed around. When we're not fighting the good fight and warring against those things that would come against us, because these are all sinful things right here. If you're practicing these things, if we're living as under those authorities of the flesh, then we cannot be truly a believer. If those things are taking authority over us for years and conquering us and knocking us out the box. Because, see, the spirit is always going to win when we surrender to it. The spirit is always going to have authority over the flesh. But it's a matter of us yielding ourselves, surrendering ourselves. That's why he says, but I say walk. In other words, we have to get up and fight. We have to get up and stand up for the truth. And not do what we want to do anymore. Galatians 5:22-24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Every day. And this goes for me big time. Every day we got to have a funeral service. We got to wake up with the word ready to obey and surrender and submit. Because he says, and those, who are those? Those who are born again, those who are spirit-filled, those who are producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the people he's talking about, those people, those saints, those who are called, those who have been delivered, those who have been redeemed, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Oh, yeah, you got a war going on. Sin has two cousins, sin and death. Which one? How many? Are y'all all partying together? Sin has two cousins that hang out with them, sin and death. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. Passion or pleasure. Pleasure has two cousins, sin and death. Pleasure. Because, see, when you're walking in your flesh, You're desiring the flesh. These are desires of the flesh. These are passions of the flesh. These are things that come against us. That's why he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions. So pleasure is a form of passion. When you're passionate, when you have passions, and those passions are taking you away from, or pleasures take you away from the truth, guess what? They're gonna destroy you. They're gonna take you back. He says, and those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We're gonna delve into that a little bit more. Passions and desires. I'll look up those words and give us a little deeper meaning of that. Psalm 119. He says, the word is a lamp. Your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know why most of us get lost? You know why most of us as believers get lost off the highway of heaven? We end up on the wrong turns because we're not illuminated. We're not walking in the spirit. We're not lit up like a lamp on a hill. We're not lit up so the world can see us. We're not lit up because sometimes we want to be in our flesh. Sometimes we want to be in those passions and desires that gratify the flesh. We want to do it. We stimulate them. We go looking for trouble. We turn the light off and we go to creeping and sneaking around. Let's be honest. I've been there. I've done it. Let's not play games with God. He knows. He knows every time we go and commit a sin, something that's contrary to the word of God and the will of God, guess what? He knows it. He knows that we thought about it, we meditated on it, and we basically said, I do, Lord, to that sin. We pondered it in our mind. We rolled it around in our head, and we basically said yes to our flesh. But it's time for us to get real. It's time for us to stop walking in the darkness. Let's close up right here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for shining light on us, Lord, exposing who we are sometimes, who we can be. The moment that we stop walking in the spirit, Lord, the moment we stop putting you on, Lord, the moment we stop being obedient, Lord, we are walking in darkness, and it won't be long before our feet start to walk in. And we're no longer speaking the truths of your word, we're speaking in our flesh. Lord God, forgive us of our trespasses and sins, Lord. Heal us from uncleanness, unrighteousness. Heal us from those things that are not fitting. Father God, we need you. We need you every moment of every day, Lord God. Our flesh wants to be in control and wants to run and rule over us and reign over us, Lord God, but you have given us every tool, everything that we need to live a godly life. And Lord, as we are in the last days, and as we are in the last days, it's too, we should never, ever get comfortable in our sin or get comfortable in our flesh. So we ask, Lord God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you help us. Help us be real. Help us to continue to confess, continue to study, continue to look at who we are in the mirror of your Holy Scripture, that we may be the light in dark places, that we may be the light of the world. We love you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, if there's anybody here that does not have a personal relationship with you, that today that they will get it right, Lord. They will come to the cross, come naked, come broken, with a contrite heart, Lord, laying their sins at the foot of the cross, and they leave them there and walk away and get into a good, healthy Bible-teaching church and find a disciple maker, Lord, that they may be trained up in righteousness and they will be equipped for every good work. We love you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Until we meet again, we ask, Lord God, that you walk with us as we hold on to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you and say amen. All right. I want to thank everybody for joining me today for a time in God's Word, 30 minutes in the Word. And please pray for me. I'm going through some financial problems, and I'm out of work right now because of my license issue. And I thought all I needed to do was get my license back or get my license reinstated in California. But it's been a mess, and I don't know what to do at this point, but I'm going to get through the holidays and just, Lord willing, we're just going to move forward and we're praying for the Lord, to just give me direction. I have some ideas of what I want to do, but I can't do them right now because I just don't have the financing to do those things. So, but please pray for me as I pray for you and just pray for God to give me direction. I do not like being out of work. I don't like being stressed out about being out of work. So I'm trying to just, I want to lean more on him and less on myself. And I'm really looking at, okay, Lord, are you opening up a new door that I need to be prepared to walk through? And I believe he is. So I'm just grateful that, you know, I got my parents, and I know that beginning of the year is going to change around, but it was kind of disturbing that I couldn't go back to work, and I just got my license issue fixed for the state of California. But now I got to go through some more stuff with Texas just to get this, so it can be a month even after I pay for all of this stuff to get done. But other than that, hey, I'm in good spirits. I love coming before the people of God. For those who, if you're being blessed by this, like I said, hey, reach out to me. Contact me or send me an email at Minister Daryl Kendrick. No, Minister Big Ken, MinisterBigKen65@yahoo.com. Minister Big Ken at yahoo.com or dkendricksr@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Reach out to me there. Let me know what you think about the program. Let me know. And also, you can go on the webpage at the Prodigal Church Hour. You can just Google Minister Big Ken 65. You can Google that, and you can send out links to your friends on their page. If you're being blessed, if this is helping you, hey, share the link, Facebook it to somebody, or Facebook or Gmail Plus to somebody, or email it to somebody, and you can keep the message going that somebody might be. Hey, I love you. God loves you more. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you. If the Lord says the same, we'll come back tomorrow and do another program for Christmas Eve. But, hey, may the Lord keep you today, and may he encourage you and build you up as you walk in the light. God bless each and every one of you. And it's in evil part. Every promise.
I have